I know people are dropping their kiddos off, but we're going to go ahead and get started. They'll come. They'll hear me. Preach and they will come and they will sit. Why don't we start with a quick update, Susan? Ron was going to give us an update on Mexico and the trip he just took, but he's got a little cold, and so Susan helps tremendously with To Mexico with Love, and so she's going to tell us what happened and what's going on, what's to come.
Mostly, Ron wanted me to tell you that you're invited, anyone who wishes to go, and the next trip is May 20th through the 23rd, and that information is on the newsletter. You need a passport or a passport card to come. Please consider coming. We will stay in the seminary, which is like this neat dormitory situation, go out for really great Mexican food, but most importantly, visit the landfill, which is an opportunity to bless people who are there with prayer and food and hope. We disperse hope. We'll go to church, and probably there'll be one other project that we do. So if you're interested, talk to me or Ron Graves, and those numbers are on the newsletter. Yes, Richard.
And a check. Awesome. Thank you. Well, I'm gonna pass this the sign up. I know lots of the public school is on Easter break, and I know different ones are out of town right now, so we'll pass this out the next couple weeks. But it's important. Kids ministry is really important, and we got a lot of amazing children, and we want to sow into their lives. And you know, we don't believe that kids have a junior Holy Spirit. We believe that they have the same Holy Spirit that we do. And so we want to train them and equip them in the Lord. And so they'll be the future leaders, business people, presidents, amen. And right out of this school and right out of this church. So, amen, I'm going to go ahead and pass that. So how's everybody doing? Joe, good to see you. You survived. He was in the Baja. Come on, that sounds fun. Real quick, next week is Palm Sunday. How many love Palm Sunday and Easter? I just love the Easter, the holidays, and spring. I just love spring. But next weekend is going to be real special. We have Michael Dalton coming, and he's coming with Pastor Jim and a couple other people. We don't know who the other ones are, but there'll be some people full of the Lord, and so they are going to be speaking Saturday night in Bishop at 6 p.m. at the Bishop campus, and then obviously 10 a.m. next Sunday morning. Be here. It's going to be awesome. It's always just an amazing time, and he's coming loaded with the word of the Lord. It's going to be really good. So Saturday night, 6 p.m. on the 9th. Sunday morning, Palm Sunday here, and then 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon, he'll be doing the regular Sunday afternoon service down there as well. So tell a friend, bring somebody. It's really good, and it's really encouraging. I've seen so many people just get rocked in the Lord or get a prophetic word that changed their life. So good stuff. Amen? Yay. And then Easter Sunday. Say Easter Sunday. That is the following week, April 17th. And so we're going to have, we're doing it a little different. I mean, we should be used to like different by now over the last couple years. Since 2020, everything is just different. So I've learned to just go with the flow. The silver lining in COVID is that I've just become more flexible and I can go with the flow. And But we just want to do things a little differently this year. We're going to have an earlier service in Crowley at 9 a.m. So we're not going to have a 10 a.m. service. We're going to have a 9 a.m. service. It's going to be a worship and communion service. And so Kayla and Jairo are going to bring the house down. We love them. They are anointed and carry such a sweet spirit. So they're going to be leading worship, and we're going to have a worship and communion service on Easter Sunday at 9 a.m. And it'll only be about an hour-long service. And then at 11 a.m., say 11 a.m., we are going to do the service at the Bishop campus. And Janet is going to be making a bunch of Jesus food, as Mediterranean food, Arabic food, and Lebanese food, Mediterranean food. So it's going to be an amazing feast. And it's going to be $5 a plate because there's all kinds of stuff being prepared. It's just to cover the cost of everything. And we're just going to feast together, have a good time. But we also have a special guest coming to lead worship, David Brimer. And he has come here a couple times, one of the most anointed worshipers that I know. He's the real deal. And he used to lead worship at IHOP in Kansas City, and now he's over in Santa Maria. He's a part of the healing rooms there. But just an amazing guy. You will love him if you've never heard him. You can find him on YouTube. He's the one that wrote the song that Patrick was singing, Day and Night, Night and Day, Let Incense Rise. That's his song. So come, and we're going to have a good time. There's going to be some fun stuff for the kids. And it'll just be a wonderful time. And the heart of it is that we believe family comes first. And so we want to just make sure that we're giving everybody the afternoon and the evening just to be with family, be with each other. And so that's why we want to do two earlier services. But it's going to be great. Amen? Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. Tell them something good. Tell them something from heaven. Tell them something encouraging. And I don't hear any talking. All right. Well, I do have a message. I want to jump back into this message that I've been doing the last couple weeks. And so if you have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Come on. Got some excitement. Love you, Andy. Let's pray. King Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for your love and your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for this church. And I thank you, God, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love your church. You love this church. You love the churches in this valley, in this whole community. And I thank you, God. We thank you. And we bless every group of believers in this valley right now. We ask that you would be with them, Lord. Every church that's leading worship and gathering and lifting the name up of Jesus up on high, we just pray, be with our brothers and sisters in the Eastern Sierras right now. And we just pray, be with us right now as we celebrate you, as we glorify you. I pray, God, anoint this message and seal it on every single heart in this room. And I just pray, help me to articulate and to say what you want me to say. In Jesus' holy name. And everybody that agreed with me said, amen. So I've been in a little series I am calling Choices. Say Choices. Rena, it's so good to see you. Just want to call you out. We love Rena. Had her surgery, and so we've been praying for you. We love you. But we've been in this series called Choices. And, the first week I was talking about the enemy has your number, cucumber, right? He knows you. He's got you on speed dial, and he's coming for you. He's coming for me. And I use the illustration of this massive St. Bernard dog that attacked me in Mongolia. And I walked into the situation naively, you know, forgetting that we had a guard dog. Dang it. And, well, I didn't forget that we had him. I just forgot that he wasn't put into his kennel until a certain time. And so I went out at 5 a.m. and I got fully attacked by this dog. And the point of the story is that the enemy is crafty. The Bible says in 1 Peter that he roams around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And many times I think we are living our best life. We love the Lord, but we just sometimes walk naively into situations thinking that we could never be touched. No spirit, no thing can ever touch us and hurt us. And then we get our leg chewed off and we're like, how did that happen? And so I just want us to be fully aware of the enemy's tactics during this time and this season. And the way that I was explaining how we begin to live a healthy life and a life full of Jesus and a life that's fully, it's really on there, a life that's like fully in God and where you feel alive is you begin to live by core values. We have to have biblical core values that lead us and guide our lives. And so the whole point of this talk is that we can make a decision and we can make a choice before we have to fall into this intense emotional situation, whether it be with a person that's yelling at us over masks, or we're in a heated discussion with our spouse, or something's going on. Like, we don't have to wait till emotions are high to make a decision on what we're going to do. We can choose way before we get into that situation on what we're going to do. And that is by living by core values. And I've just been doing this every week because there's power in repetition. And so I just want you to remember for the rest of your life. And so we've been calling this we've been calling this side sin, and we've been calling this kingdom living. Why are we calling it kingdom living? Because it sounds cool. I just like it. The kingdom of God. You know what I'm talking about. But there's this edge that everybody can come close to. There's this edge. There's this cliff. And we know that what the cliff represents. It represents pride. It represents anger, outburst of anger. It represents lust, adultery, and all kinds of things that we know. There's something here. And it could be offense. It could be bitterness, jealousy, coveting. There's all kinds of things that could put you over the edge and ultimately lead to destruction, where you have Cujo chewing on your leg, right? Or on your, for me, it was, he sunk his teeth right into my side. It felt like somebody stabbed me. Not good. The point of core values is, what I want to do is I want to move the line back. I want to move the line back in my heart so that I never even get to this place. I realize that there's a cliff. I realize that there's a devil. And so I want to protect my heart, protect my family by moving this line back so that I never flirt with disaster. I don't flirt with demons. I don't flirt with all this stuff, because ultimately if I do, I'm not strong enough and I'm going to fall off the cliff. And so I want to move this thing back a couple hundred miles. Right? A couple hundred miles. I want to move the line back in my heart, because I want to be safe. I want to run the race well. I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband. I want to be present, you know, and there are many things that want to trip us up. And so we have to choose to live by biblical core values. And there are lots of things that are biblical core values, you know, integrity, humility, love, unity. There's things that guide us, that should guide us. There are things that guide our church, generosity and love. You know, there are many things that guide this church that are the non-negotiables, right? But we need to be led by core values personally. Say core values. Amen. And last week we talked about, I think, one of the most important core values, which is devotion. Making a decision in your heart and in your mind that you're going to live a life of devotion to King Jesus. I think that's one of the greatest core values that you can have in your life. And it's if you, once you make that, once you decide that I'm all in for Jesus, he's going to have, we talked about, we have 168 hours in our week. And so what are you going to decide to do with that 168? Is it all going to be wasted on Facebook? Is it, you know, the average person is on their phone 6 to 8 hours a day. And 20 minutes here, 30 minutes here, 10 minutes here, an hour here. And that's so much wasted time in our day. And so I want to take my time back. I want to take my life back. And I want to give Jesus the best offering. I want to give Jesus the best part of myself. And so a core value of devotion. Amen. Hallelujah. But today I want to talk, I think I want to take it one step further. And I want to talk about something that I feel like is even more important and probably something that's deep inside all of us and probably was wired into your DNA and my DNA. And it's something that I think at the end of the day, all of us want, and we want to be known by this. And you would ask a person, well, what do you want to be known for at the end of your life? And maybe they would say, I want to be successful. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to be rich. Okay, rich, come on, rich. Rich in the back row. I want to be rich. I want to be successful. I want to have money. I've been hanging around him too long. I got witty, funny jokes. I want to be successful. I want to be influential. I want to be happy. All these things are good. There's nothing wrong with any one of these things. But I think there's something that's deep inside of my heart and deep inside of your heart that at the end of the day, this is what we truly want, and it is to be faithful. I don't know about you, but when my life is over and they bury me and I'm standing before Jesus, the only thing I want to hear is, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that starts now. It starts with my choices now. Like, I cannot and I will never accidentally fall into faithfulness. It is so intentional. It is intentionality. It is next level Christianity. And we have to put all of the chips in the middle of the table. Like, we are coming into such a crazy moment in history where if we're not all in, we're going to fall off the cliff. We're going to fall off the cliff. We're going to be eaten alive. And so there is just something so deep inside of me. Like, I don't know about you. Maybe I think it's in all of us, but I'm feeling this, there's just this holy, reverent fear of God that's been coming upon me lately. A holiness that I just see. I'm just wanting this holiness to return back to the body of Christ, to my own life. And I just want to be faithful with what God has called me to do. I want to be faithful with the little things. I want to be faithful with the big things. I want to be faithful with the things that nobody sees. I want to be faithful. Amen. And I think in a lot of our lives and in the world especially, it's like the world system wants to take the easy road. And you go on your phone and your MapQuest and it'll pull up three different paths. And, okay, this path will take 6 hours, this path will take 5 hours, and this path will take 4 hours. Like, phew, 4 hours. I want the path of least resistance, right? I want the quickest way. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in the kingdom of God, it's not about taking the quickest route. It's not about taking the easiest route. And I think sometimes when we take the faithful route, sometimes it's really difficult. And it can be taxing, and it comes at a cost. But it is the most fruitful road to travel. It is the most joyful road to travel. It is the most amazing road to travel because you get to walk with King Jesus. I want to be faithful. You know, it says in Habakkuk, look at the proud. This is our world system. This is our government, our politicians, and people in our communities. It says, look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But this is us. This is you. This is me. I hope, right? This next part. But the righteous. Say, I'm the righteous. will live by their faithfulness to God. Hallelujah. The righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. I want to be counted faithful. I want to live faithful to King Jesus. And, you know, I had this interesting dream 3 nights ago, and I feel like it ties right into what I'm saying, so I just want to share it real quick. But talking about the difference, there's those that are crooked, and there's those that are faithful. There's no in between. But I had this dream, and in the dream, there was this large crow in my yard, and it was doing what crows do. They're annoying and squawking and making lots of noise. And I was getting, in my dream, I'm getting irritated at this, at the noise of the crow. And all of a sudden, this huge eagle comes out of the sky and shoots down and snatches this crow and kills it and flies away. And I said, wow. And then I look away, I look back, and in the next part of my dream, I see a little white puppy. You're like, not the white puppy. I see a little I see a little white puppy, and he's walking on the street, and all of a sudden he begins to walk into the middle of the street. And then in the sky, this bigger eagle. I mean, it was like the eagle that you would see on like Lord of the Rings, like massive size eagle shoots down out of the sky, grabs the puppy, and flies away. And I said, oh, wow, that was intense. And I wake up, and I knew, sometimes I have dreams, and I'm like, man, that was good pizza last night. You know, that was a good pizza dream. But a lot of times we can have dreams, and the Lord speaks to us through dreams. He'll speak to us through his word. He'll speak to us through prophetic people. He'll speak to us by the Spirit of the Lord. He'll speak to us in our dreams, and it's in Acts. You know, it says that he will do this. But I've had many dreams where God really speaks to me. And so I felt like this was the Lord. So I contacted a guy that's really good with dreams interpretations. And he began to break this down. And this is where it kind of ties in. So he says the crow is interesting. The crow in Scripture, many times, and they gave me a list of passages. The crow represents confusion and slander and a mocking spirit. And the puppy represents immaturity. Immaturity. The eagle, we know from Scripture, the eagle will always represent the prophetic. It represents God, hallelujah. And it also represents the mature believer. And so this guy, he said, man, this is a really powerful dream. And the Lord is getting ready to do something so significant in your church and in the Eastern Sierras, in that region. But he's going to deal with the spirit of confusion and immaturity before he can truly move. And so I said, well, bring it, Lord. Praise God. And I begin to pray into this thing. And as I'm praying into this, I felt like, okay, there's nothing new under the sun. What we've seen in the past, we see now. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, I begin to look, and Heather and I were reminded of 1 Corinthians, where Paul is having to address some situations in the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church is a powerful group. They're a powerful charismatic church. They believe in the gifts. They believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, miracles, signs, and wonders. But yet there is such a high level of confusion and immaturity. And how it is manifesting in this church body is there is a lot of sexual immorality. There is homosexuality. There is all kinds of stuff that's taking place that he's like, no, this is going to destroy the entire church. This is going to destroy many people's lives, families. And so we must deal with this immaturity. We can't pray in tongues and then scream at somebody at the pizza place. Amen. This is immaturity. And confusion. There's lots of confusion and immaturity. So he's addressing sexual stuff and he's addressing doctrinal stuff. And there is lots of doctrinal immaturity. I'm not talking about in our church. Maybe there is. But in this region, I've bumped into people in the Eastern Sierras that believe some crazy stuff. And then they try to sprinkle in a little bit of Jesus and call themselves Christians. And it is demonic. It is so demonic. There are people in this area, that will take hallucinogenics and smoke weed and then begin to pray and have experience with Jesus. And I'm like, dude, that's the devil. There's nowhere in Scripture where it says get high and then pray. You're supposed to get high on the Most High. Amen? And there is a feeling and there is emotions and there is so much that can happen when you just surrender to Jesus. We don't need to this generic manufactured stuff. And so there's lots of doctrines of demons that have been infiltrating and New Age stuff that have been infiltrating Christians' lives. And it is time that we mature. And to me, as I think about this dream, I see the eagle as the mature believer. I see the eagle as mothers and fathers standing and just saying, you know what? We're not doing that anymore. You know what? We're actually going to deal with this in love. And we're going to be stronger. And so if there are people that you know that are just whacked out on all kinds of stuff, like it is the most loving and gracious thing to do to confront. We cannot sweep things under the rug anymore. I believe the Lord is calling us to get rid of confusion. There's been a spirit of confusion in the church, but in our land, in our government, that's trickled down from the top. And we gotta break that thing. And confusion and immaturity is causing the bride to not be faithful. This is where I'm getting at. It's causing us to not walk in faithfulness because we're being pulled and tugged in so many different directions. Amen. Hallelujah. So what does it mean? What does it mean to be faithful in my life and in your life? How do I live this out? How do we walk this out every day? I feel like it has to do with living in the light. Like, I want to live in the light. I don't want to live in the shadows. You know, we've all had moments where we've either gone overseas or you've been in your own home and anybody have a cockroach problem before? Oh, it's awful. I've had some cockroach problems in Asia. I've had some cockroach problems in Reading. And the thing about cockroaches is they hate the light. They want to stay in the shadows. They want to stay in the darkness. You turn that light on and they scatter. And so I believe if the more we turn the light on our heart, on our life, and have no more secrets, and have no more secret shame and secret sin and secret stuff going on, but we fully come into the light, then we can begin to walk faithful to the Lord. Amen. And it means walking with integrity. Walking with integrity, like just tell the truth. Come on. And believing in the integrity of the Scripture. Like, I don't need to add to this. This is holy. Yeah. It is so holy. And I have heard people take bits and pieces and then add different things that are just historical books from other places. And we don't need to do that. You treat this as holy and believe in the integrity of Scripture. You're like, who's he preaching at? just to the air, to the atmosphere. It just needs to be, sometimes things need to be said. Amen. Integrity, say integrity. Faithfulness means being committed to the Lord. It means fully being committed to Jesus. And it also means fully being committed to your spouse. Like if we could just talk about relationships for a minute. It is like, I'm not halfway committed to my spouse. I want, next to Jesus, I want my wife to have all of my heart. All of me. And it is just, it's just this full commitment. You know, I just want to be so faithful to Jesus, and I want to be faithful to my wife and faithful to my kids above everything else. And then ministry after that. And I feel like if we would just get it in this order, like we're going to be happy people. We're going to be the best version of ourselves that the world has ever seen. Hallelujah. But in the scriptures, you know, I love the gospels. I love just learning from the life of Jesus. You know, this is the written will of God. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. This is the written will of God. But, you know, if you want to look at the living will of God, then you look at the gospels and you look at Jesus. Jesus was the living will of God in action. And so he showed us what it was like to live a faithful life and what was important to him. And there's a couple of things that were super important to Jesus. And the first thing that I see is that in the gospel, faithfulness was measured by how you treat people. That's heavy. It's measured by how you treat people. And everywhere that Jesus went, he added value to people. He didn't overlook people because of position or lack of position. He added value to every person that he came in contact with. And I think, again, in our culture and out there, not in here, but sometimes it creeps into the church, but in our culture, we often tend to become very familiar with each other. We become very familiar with our spouse. We become very familiar with our coworkers, very familiar with those in church. And familiarity breeds contempt. And I think many times as we become more and more familiar, sometimes we just start a little bit of sarcastic humor. And sometimes I feel, you know, there's a place for a little bit of sarcastic humor, but sometimes it gets to be too much and it can be cutting. And it can there's an edge to it, right? And I love what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful. So whatever I'm speaking, is this going to help this person or is this going to make this person sad? You know, are they going to feel like I was ganging up on them? Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Come on. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And we have this great responsibility and wonderful privilege to walk into a room and you can change the spiritual temperature. You can change the thermostat in the room, in the person's life. Your barista, the person that makes you coffee every week, maybe they're hopeless. Maybe they're feeling super discouraged. You can walk in and add courage and add value to this person's life with a smile. Sometimes all it takes is a smile. Have you ever just smiled at somebody and they just begin to laugh and their whole countenance changes? It's like, come on, your smile is anointed. You can change atmospheres. So good. And I just feel like this is faithfulness in Scripture. Faithfulness is seeing the one that's before you. Not being so busy that we are constantly thinking way out there, but it's seeing our kids. You know, it's like faithfulness in my son's eyes is I get down on the floor and I play with him. I play dinosaurs. I get into his world. And that is love to him. That is seeing him eye to eye, seeing him heart to heart. If I just try to always pull him into my world, then he feels neglected and I'm missing him. But once I get into his world, I begin to see him. Come on. And that's what the beauty of Jesus. I just love the gospel so much. He constantly came into people's situations. The woman who was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus could have just kept walking. He's like, man, I got stuff to do. I got these disciples. We got, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. But he was like, no. I'm gonna take this moment, and I'm gonna bring restoration. And he begins to write in the sand. We don't know exactly what he wrote, but something something, because these Pharisees begin to freak out. And they begin to drop their stones. They're like, I'm out, you know. And he comes to the woman who just committed adultery, who had every right to be killed. And he says, where are your accusers now? Go your way, sin no more. Her life was forever changed with an encounter with Jesus. Jesus was faithful with the individual that was before him. He was faithful. Remember Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in that sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. I don't know, it feels like I've just heard that before. But Zacchaeus was known as the tax collector. He was known as the short man. He was known as the crook. He was known as the guy that takes our money. Nobody liked tax collectors. Do you like a tax collector? No. And even worse back then. It was not good. But I love Jesus' response. He doesn't just listen to what everybody's saying about this man. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to eat with you. And he doesn't call him tax collector, come down. He doesn't call him short man, come down. He doesn't say, hey, the guy that everybody hates, why don't you come down here? He calls him by name. And his name means pure one. So he says, pure one, come down here. I want to eat with you. I want to talk with you. And Zacchaeus' life was forever changed when he had a meal with Jesus. Hallelujah. We see this again and again and again. You know, Peter is such a prime example. Like, if there was anybody that Jesus was like, you know what, you're done, dude. Like, you denied me 3 times. You've gotten in my way so many times. I had to say, get behind me, Satan. You know, there was all. But Peter, I love Peter. I think many of us, we can find ourselves in Peter's shoes many times. But Peter denies Christ, and then Jesus has this moment with him on the beach where he fully restores him, and he sees him. He sees him for who he is. He says, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? He asks him 3 times. He was restoring him. He denied him 3 times, and he asks him 3 times. And he's like, it's a done deal. And Peter, from that moment, was a changed man. He was a new man. Hallelujah. You know, I think we need to begin to see value in people. Don't just see, but add value. And I'm so grateful for individuals that saw me when I was at my worst. But they didn't look at the outward appearance. They looked at what God was doing in my heart. You know, when I was a teenager just making horrible mistakes, I kept running into people from this church, from the Lighthouse, and people would pray over me and prophesy over me and love me and cry and weep over my life. And they just saw something in me when I didn't see it in myself. And that is the gospel. That's the beauty of the gospel. Like, you can see people by the Spirit. You don't have to look at their current condition and just be done with them. You can see them by the Spirit, and you can begin to prophesy and speak something by faith over them. That's what they did for me. You know, and even after, you know, we were walked through all the trauma with my daughter, and, you know, I remember praying this prayer. After that whole season, I lifted my hands to the Lord, and I just said, God, I don't care if I do another day of ministry in my life. I don't care if I ever preach. I don't care if I travel to one more nation. Like, Lord, help me from this day forward. Help me to be a better father, and help me to be a better husband, because I don't know what I'm doing. And I just tried to lean into that to the best of my ability. And I remember it was about 2 weeks after that, I get a phone call from Albie. Yeah. And he says, I've been praying, and I really feel like you're supposed to be the pastor of Church of the Mountain. No, I don't think so, because I just told the Lord I ain't doing nothing. But in this season of my life, you know, and I knew I was called to ministry, but we just come through a season of trauma, and so I was just trying to be present for my family. And But and so in this moment, I wasn't seeing anything for myself. But I remember Eric coming along and Albie coming along, and they saw value in me. And they saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. And they said, no, I see the Lord doing something in you in the Eastern Sierras, in Church on the Mountain. And they added value to my life, and they believed in me. And so I just, how amazing it is when we believe in people, when we see them by the Spirit. Come on. We can all do this. You can do it with your kids. You could do it with your spouse. You could do it with your coworkers. You can add value to every interaction, every person. Amen? So the next thing that we see in the gospel, how faithfulness is measured, it's through our stewardship. And because the Lord gives gifts, He gives good gifts to His children. Somebody say amen. He's a good father. He's such a wonderful father. And He gives different gifts, and He gives different abilities, and He gives different talents to each and every one of us. And the best scripture to look at this would be Matthew 25. And we see that there was the three servants, and they were given five talents, two talents, and one talent, right? And I love this. The one with five, he says, I'm going to invest it. I'm going to multiply this and make the master happy. The one with two has the same heart. I'm going to invest this. I'm going to multiply this for the master. And the one that had one became scared, and he said, I'm just going to bury this. I'm going to do nothing with this because I don't want to lose it. And this is what, you know, we know the story, but for it's just good to reread it. Matthew 25, 21. His master replied to the first, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. You have been faithful with little. Now I will put you in charge of much. Hallelujah. And so faithfulness is about multiplication on what He's given you. There is a gift inside of you. There is an ability. There is a talent. There are resources inside that God has given you, graciously given you. And some have been given five, and some have been given two, and some have been given one. But in the kingdom of God, faithfulness is, I'm going to put this to work. I'm going to not hide this thing. I'm going to sow this thing into the kingdom. I'm going to put my hands to the plow. I only have one talent, Lord. I have this one thing, and you know, I have a gift of hospitality. Whatever you whatever that thing is for you, just put it to work. Put it in the hands of the master and watch God multiply that. He'll take your one and turn it into two. He'll turn your two into four. He'll turn your four into eight. Hallelujah. God is in the multiplication business. And He wants to multiply things, but we have to trust Him. We have to take that gift, that talent, that ability, your resources, and fully put it in the Lord's hands. Yeah. Hallelujah. I remember working, you know, at the Salvation Army, and it was a fun season. And I wanted to work there because I love, in my heart of hearts, I love helping people. And I love humanitarian work. I love just feeding people, doing stuff like that. And so that was why I went into this job. And I got to do a lot of that. I got to help pay people's bills and just do things behind the scenes and, you know, get people food. And it was a wonderful thing. But I also had to be in charge of the thrift store. And that wasn't my favorite thing to do. I wasn't like that excited about folding dirty socks and all the stuff. I mean, you could just get all kinds of treasures, as people call them. We get all kinds of treasures at the store, and I would have to rummage through everything and throw away the stuff that's fully broken and put out the things that are nice. And I remember just being in the back and like literally, I'm not even joking, like folding dirty socks and shirts with stains on them, and I'm like, God, there's got to be more. Like, there's got to be more. What am I doing with my life? And I just felt the Lord say, will you be faithful with little? Will you be faithful in this season when nobody's looking at you? And I just begin to do my best in this environment. And I just said, okay, I'm going to make this place look like heaven. And the sales begin to rise. As my attitude got better, the sales got better. I begin to just make display. I'm in a thrift store. I'm going to make cool displays. I'm going to make this place shine. This place is going to be awesome, you know. And as I changed my heart, God began to open doors for ministry. See, my heart was for ministry, but I had to get my heart in a right position first. As my heart was in a right position, all of a sudden people would stumble in there, you know, full of demonic spirits. And, hey, I just need some prayer. I'm like, sweet, let's go into my office real quick. And I didn't even have to leave the place. People just kept coming and coming for healing, for all kinds of stuff. That was my heart. But if we'll be faithful with what's in front of us, he can trust you with much. Amen. Can we be faithful? I mean, be faithful, like faithful with our car. It's a lesson. It's like we could drive down the road and, you know, maybe you got a beater. I mean, I've ever had a beater. I've had beaters. And you can look at somebody else. Oh, man, look at that Tesla. Look at that. Oh, I bet they, you know, never struggle a day in their life. But we don't treat our car with love and TLC and respect. You know, we can wash our car. We can vacuum our car. We can treat our car, change the oil. Just do whatever you can do to steward the season that you have this car. It's just it's the little things. Amen. It's our heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Say multiplication. So it says, so I was afraid. This continues with the third servant. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent. Other translation says gold. Hid your gold in the ground. See, here it is. It belongs to you. He thought he was doing a good thing by hiding it and just giving the master the one thing. And the master says, you wicked and you lazy servant. And so when we sit on our gifts, when we are afraid to allow the gift and the grace of God upon our life to shine in the marketplace, shine in the church, shine in the nations. When we just sit on it, God says, no, that is not being faithful. Amen. Faithful is multiplication. Hallelujah. And then the third thing that we see in the Gospels and in Jesus' life and is we see that faithfulness is measured by how quickly you obey Jesus. How quickly you obey the voice of God. Oh, hallelujah. I love Acts chapter 20. I love the Apostle Paul. Like I'm so moved by the writings of Paul and by the stories of Paul. But Acts 20, 22, this is so great. It says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. Listen to that. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I have this unction. I have this sense in my spirit that I'm supposed to go to Jerusalem. He didn't say, okay, guys, I got this unction, and after I get 10 confirmations, I'm going to Jerusalem. No, he just knew that he knew that he knew that God was speaking to him. And then he obeyed. He didn't have the whole story mapped out. He just had a piece, Jerusalem. And it was so strong in his heart and in his spirit that he said, I must obey. Obedience is always better than sacrifice. And so we must obey the voice of God. I love when Richard speaks and he shares these wonderful stories of just obeying the voice of the Father. And when it seems silly, it seems absurd, but yet God always shows up when there's faith and when there's obedience. And the thing that I have found is like, there have been seasons of my life where I'm hearing so much in my spirit, in my heart. I'm hearing. And as long as I continually obey and continually step out, then I keep hearing. But the moment that I shut my ears and shut my heart and I'm like, I don't really want to talk to that person. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. Then the Lord begins to slowly stop speaking. because I'm not obeying. I haven't obeyed the last 10 things that he's said to do. And so he's like, fine, I'm gonna step back for a minute until you begin to do what I've already asked you to do. So every prompting, every unction, every move that we feel in our spirit, it's this opportunity to walk in obedience. And walking in obedience is walking in faithfulness. Hallelujah. Yeehaw. When you are faithfully pursuing Jesus, you will be prompted, you will be compelled, you will feel the leading, the unction. There's all kinds of words that we use in Christianity, right? You'll feel something in your spirit, in your heart, but we have to move with that. Unless it's like, I mean, there's times when we can feel like, oh, I think the Lord is saying, leave my wife and, you know, move to, you know, Timbuktu. I'm like, I don't think that's the Lord, bro. You know? But unless it's like you're in an abusive relationship, the Lord can speak. But if there are times when you do need confirmation, there are times when it is very healthy to trust and to bounce the word of the Lord off of mothers and fathers, and to bounce it and to test it with the word of God. But if it's like, hey, you feel you're driving down the road, this happens to me all the time. I'll be driving and somebody will pop in my mind. And there have been times when I override it. You know, maybe I want to listen to something. Maybe I'm on the verge of calling somebody, so I override. But if I'll just listen for a minute, I'll realize, okay, I think I'm supposed to pray for this person. And so I begin to pray and just intercede for just a few moments. I don't know what's going on. And then God might open up an opportunity or a door to talk to that person, to call that person. But I think it's just the little things. It's just, you go into the coffee shop and it's like you see somebody sitting in the corner and the Lord says, just buy their coffee. Just bless them. Add value to them. And it's just the still small voice. Can you listen in the small things? I think if we can listen and if we can obey in these little things, then God can trust you in geographical moves. He can trust you in mega things, right? And so I just want to learn to be obedient to the still small voice. Amen. Our obedience is our responsibility. But in like the story of Acts, the outcome is God's responsibility. And so we don't have to manipulate. We don't have to try to control anything. We just need to obey the voice of our Father. And just allow the chips to fall as they may. And just trust that He's a good and faithful Father. He's a loving dad, and he will do what he said he would do. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to wrap up here in a second. Patrick, I'm going to call you up. This is the last time we can call him up for a few weeks because he's going to have surgery. So we love Patrick Pagel and Becca and their whole family. So we want to live by core values. We don't want to fall off the cliff. We want to live with integrity. We want to live with compassion. I think compassion is something we don't talk about enough in the body of Christ. And empathy. There's been times in my life where I have had no compassion. And I've had no empathy for what other people are going through. But then I read the scriptures and I see every time there was a super significant miracle, the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. And then he healed the sick. He was moved with compassion and he healed that boy. He was moved with compassion and he cast out this demon spirit. He was moved with compassion for the people that were following him. So he multiplied the food. I think a core value of compassion is a lost art, and we got to come back to this thing. Amen? And
I
because hallelujah. And I think it's important to say this again. I'm just reiterating because there's power in repetition. We did this last week, but you know, at the end of the day, I want Jesus at the center of everything. I just want him to be my all in all. And all these other things, there's so many things in our life. And it's our work. It's our kids. Our marriage. Our money. Ministry. And it goes on and on and on. There's all these things, but I don't want anything to come before Jesus. And I want, at the end of my life, I want to stand before my Maker, my Savior, my King, my Master, my God. I want to stand before him, and I want to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've run your race well." We were cheering for you. Think about that. Think about the halls of heaven. The champions of heaven. They're cheering for you right now. Your grandmothers and grandfathers. Your heroes in the faith. They're standing in heaven and they're cheering you on. This is a difficult season the last 2 years. But obviously Jesus believes in us. He believes that we have what it takes to overcome. To be victorious in this season. To live faithful and obedient lives. Again, it says Habakkuk, "Look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God." Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to live for you. We want to live by our faithfulness to you, King Jesus. So why don't you just stand with me for a moment and close your eyes. That we might be feeling, maybe just immaturity. Lord, I just thank you for strengthening your bride right now. I just see people in this room and even people listening online. I just see people getting a stronger backbone. Spreading out your wings and taking flight. Father, I thank you for strength. I thank you for courage. I thank you for faithfulness. Lord, we bless you today. We honor you. We glorify you. I just want to give a minute to just worship Jesus. Just refresh your commitment. Say, "Jesus, I just want to be committed to you. I want to be committed to you." And as we're worshiping, if there's other areas of your heart, I just do business with the Lord. Like if you need to be more in and more committed to your spouse, just tell the Lord, "God, I just want to be more committed to my spouse. I want to be more committed to my children. I want to be more faithful with the things that you put in my hands. The gifts, the resources, the talents, the abilities. I want to be more faithful God, I want to be faithful with the one that you bring in my path. So let's just talk to the Lord just for a few minutes. Psalm 1 to you. My Bible's sitting here open. I'm like, I did not read Psalm 1. I want to read this really quick, and then we're going to sing a song and we'll end this. But this is what the whole series is about. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's a choice. Nor stands in the path of the sinners. That is a choice. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That is a choice. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is my choice today. And he meditates in his law day and night. This is my choice today. And I guarantee you and I promise you, as scripture says, if you will make the choice to meditate in his law day and night, to stay in his presence, this is what he says will happen. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So thank you, King Jesus. Help us to make the right choices, to live by core values, Lord, because the choices that we make today will ultimately make us tomorrow. And God, we want to make godly choices, choices based in Scripture. We love you. We commit our ways to you in all of our hearts. And everybody said amen. Amen. Let's worship.
I just kept hearing all through this message in Matthew 6, 21. Jesus said this: where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What are your treasures?
It's time for the sleeper. It's time for the old winds to change. I hear the Spirit say, it's time for the dead man to rise. It's time for the great light to shine. I hear the Spirit say, it's time. Fling wide you heavenly gates. Let the King of glory in. Let the King of glory in. Come right in. On your people's parades, let the King of glory in. Let the King of glory in. Fling wide you heavenly gates. Let the King of glory in. Let the King of glory in. Come right in. On your people's praise, let the King of glory in. Let the King of glory in. Yeah. Open up the windows, let the light in. Open up the windows, let the light in. Open up the windows, let the light in. Let the light in. Let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, let the light in. Let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, let the light in. Let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, let the light in, let the light in. Bring wide you, heavenly gates. Let the King of Glory in, let the King of Glory in. Come right in on your people's praise. Let the King of Glory in, let the King of Glory in. Let him in. I'm caught up in your presence. I just wanna sit here at your feet. Caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave.
Hey, we're going to keep worshiping for a minute, but if you need to leave, you're free to go. Grab your children, but we're just going to keep worshiping just for a few minutes. So God bless you today. Have a beautiful day. We love you. Amen.
For me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. Caught up in your presence, I just want to sit here at your feet. Caught up in this holy moment, I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Caught up in your presence, I just want to sit here at your feet. Caught up in this holy moment, I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. All I've ever needed, God, only you. Just want you. Just want you. Just want you. Nothing else will do, Lord. Satisfy, only you can satisfy, you, Lord. Lover of my soul, you gave your all for me, and I am yours. I am yours. You paid the price for me. Thank you.